Well, we're looking back with Graham Onions at his 11 favourite games of his cricket career, and there's an obvious one that stands out. I mean, not many people get to make an England debut, not many people get to play for England at Lords, not many people get onto the honours board at Lords, but you managed all three in one go.
Yeah, and you can obviously tell by the smile on my face, if you could see it, is an amazing day. You know, to obviously have my cap given by Darren Goff, a legend and a hero of mine, have my family, all my family there basically watching and having a few drinks and hearing the corks pop and stuff, and of course just to top it off with a few wickets was pretty much a dream day.
And just to go back a little bit, I can remember quite vividly the day when you found out about it. We were at Taunton where Durham were playing a televised game, and I remember very well Durham's press officer trying to negotiate you up a rickety ladder, scared stiff that she'd injure you before you even made it there. But I guess whenever you get an England call up, you have to be in the sort of form that it's a possibility. I mean, were you expecting the call when it came?
Certainly not expecting. I mean, I think I'd been away in the winter and I'd done some good things and I'd got myself into some good rhythm. And once again, I say the first 6 weeks of the season for anybody is a big one. And I didn't necessarily put myself under pressure, but I thought to myself, well, you know, this is my year to kick on and to try and make a difference, really. And I didn't really think about doing that for England. I thought, right, well, this is going to be the year which I play and I make an impact for Durham. Simple as that. And season started well. I picked up a lot of wickets, and I remember we had a game at Taunton that we talked about, and it was on Sky. And I remember, you know, actually the build up to that went well, but. It was a bit of a funny one because Steve Harmison obviously hadn't been picked, who obviously I'd grown up with and kind of aspired to be like, really. And then I'd obviously been selected. So that obviously was a little bit of a... I was obviously delighted but also disappointed for Steve because I felt as though I was kind of taking his place a little bit. But thankfully, the game was on Sky. I think I took 8 wickets on that first... on that first day, and it was just fantastic. That was a real turning point in my career, because I thought to myself, well, actually the pressure was on, the Sky people were there, and I actually just felt as though I kind of stood up to the challenge a little bit, really, and it was great.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the fact that the Sky cameras were there, which always adds a little bit of pressure, and there was a lot of talk in the build. It's almost Harmison versus Onions in some people's eyes for the spot. And as you know only too well, Taunton's a pitch notorious for being very batsman friendly. But you actually bowled Somerset out for 69 in the first innings of that game.
Yeah, I remember the game very, very well. I mean, obviously it's a day which I basically got called into the Test squad. But for me, as in rhythm wise and the way that I wanted to take my career forward, that was pretty much a perfect day. It was very much, obviously, ran in well. I remember getting Mark Trescothick bowled with a ball that my perfect length, really, kind of top of off stump, just nipping back a little bit, probably beating slightly for pace, which I think I am a little bit deceptive when it comes, obviously, to pace. As people, I don't particularly look quick, but then... it skids on a little bit, and that's how I get a lot of right-handers out, you know, by the ball nipping back. But I mean, I remember that game thinking I was man of the match as well, and I walked away from that game thinking, you know, this was going to be a good year for me, and it's all of a sudden it is a big year for me. And I felt, you know, I felt great. I felt on top of the world. You know, I did. Obviously, from making my debut for Durham to all of a sudden playing for England is an absolute dream.
And I guess whenever your chance comes, if you're lucky enough that your chance does come with England, you want to be playing when you're on top of your game. And for you as well, Lords is a ground you've always performed well on. So I guess that was an extra bonus.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Lords is a fantastic place. You know, home of cricket. Just everything about Lords. I mean, from walking in the steps, and you've got people that carry your bags, and the lunches, the stupid things like the Molton Brown in the showers and stuff like that. I mean, it's just brilliant, absolutely perfect. And of course, for me, The build up to the first day was, I wasn't sure if I was going to play. Obviously, we had me and Tim Bresnan, who were in the squad, both potentially going to make our debuts, and we both thought, oh well, actually, it's going to be either Tim or it's going to be me. Thankfully, I trained well in the during the week. It was a great week's training, and basically we both ended up playing. We obviously got told on the Wednesday night. And it was a little bit of a sleepless night, but it was a sleepless night which I obviously didn't mind. Obviously leading into me day one of the test.
And you were obviously coming into an England team which was in good form at that time, building up towards the Ashes that year. Whereas the West Indies, I think Chris Gayle had only just got off a plane from the IPL a couple of days earlier. They were in a bit of disarray. So a good time to be taking them on, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people say, you know, the West Indies, I mean, I remember having the meetings and the chats and talking about their players, really. It was very much, you know, how are these West Indians players going to actually turn up? You know, it's cold, you know, early on in the season, you know, how's Chris Gayle going to play? You know, is he just going to try and hit every ball for six? And he certainly did that a few times. But we know that if we put the ball in the right areas for long enough, then they haven't got the mentality to bat long periods of time. And as you said, it is a good time to play against them. And you know, things obviously went well for me, and I was delighted to get a few wickets.
And I think we mentioned earlier when we were talking about your Durham debut that as a new ball bowler, like an opening batsman, you want to be in the game early. England ended up batting first, and it was the 112th over before you came to the crease. Ravi Bapara having got a big century.
It was quite short-lived, wasn't it?
It was quite short-lived, one ball long.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, I was pretty much petrified. I remember Phil Edwards was bowling from the pavilion end, and he was bowling quick, and I was thinking, I've never faced anyone like this before. And before I even walked out there, I might as well have not even batted, because I remember I totally talked myself out of it. I didn't mind me batting at all. In fact, I quite enjoyed it. But it's different, because I remember looking at the screen, he was thinking, oh, this guy's bowling 94 mile an hour. Quite an awkward action. Slinger obviously went out there, and he actually bowled a full toss, which I was thinking, I just wasn't expecting. I was expecting something short around my head. And before I knew it, it obviously clattered my stumps, and I was pretty much walking off. So it was probably a complete waste of a wicket, really. I remember walking out thinking, you know, a lot of people say, you know, just get your feet on the ground, like get your feet onto the grass and just walk out there, whether or not you bat a ball, and just go out there and kind of just feel the grass on your feet, which sounds a silly thing, but it just gets you into the field and into the pitch, and just get you involved. Obviously, it was pretty short lived, but never mind.
And even when it came to the bowling, Graham Swann took the new ball, which is something of a novelty in Test match cricket.
Yeah, I remember we talked. Obviously, had a couple of left handers. Smith obviously notoriously didn't play spin particularly well, but I mean Swanny obviously fantastic bowler, and I'd rather not have it that way with Swanee opening the ball, and to be honest, you'd rather get the ball in your hand and just get going. It obviously took a little while, but Swanee in that series actually took a lot of wickets, and you know, I became quite close to Swanee in the dressing room, obviously with him being a Newcastle fan, and just generally a good bloke to have on your debut, just to have a bit of fun, but you know, he's just a good character.
And when it finally did come to the chance to bowl, I guess it must have been quite a nervous time for you. I think your first four over spell cost 22, but once you started taking wickets, there was no stopping.
Yeah, I remember bowling from the nursery end. I think my first couple of balls might have went for four, and I was thinking, because I've always been brought up as in to say you start your spells well. It's important that you don't just ease into it. You start your spells really well. So I pride myself on that, really. And I remember thinking, I think I went for a couple of boundaries straight away. I mean, as a bowler, naturally you're trying to claw your fingers back a little bit straight away, it seems a silly thing, because you obviously don't want to go for runs, but it was actually runs that, you know, it was full, but it was swinging a little bit, and I was thinking, well, actually, I'm in the game a little bit here. If I can just groove my action a little bit and get in there and settle down a little bit, then I've got a great chance of wicket. And obviously, before I knew it, got one just slightly short of a length, decent pace, and Lendl Simmons, I kind of squared him up a little bit, went down the slope and nicked it. And I think it was it Strauss?
It was Strauss.
Andrew Strauss, obviously captain, high above his head, and I think just relief more than anything. And once again, another stage in my career where I thought to myself, well, actually, no, this is I want more of this. I want to keep on doing it.
And then it was just two balls later, you had Jerome Taylor caught, gloving one down the leg side.
Yeah, obviously a little bit of a lucky one. Slightly short of a length and probably wasn't my best ball that I've bowled. And he went to pull it, gloved it, and a good catch by Matt Pryor. You obviously don't bowl for those, and you get a lot of maybe dismissals that don't go your way. But that one was, I suppose what we say in cricket in terms is a bit of a burgle.
And Sullivan Ben followed quickly after, another one you had caught at slip, which is obviously a good way to take your wickets as a fast bowler.
A good catch by Swanee. I remember going with the slope, just angling a little bit back in towards him, left-handed batter, just edged it. Swanee's low down to his left-hand side, and a good catch, and obviously just felt good. It just felt great. I wouldn't say that was the best I've bowled, but certainly just things just went my way, and I'll never say no to wickets, that's for sure.
Of course, yes. And I think Dennis Randin was your fourth wicket, LBW.
Yeah, that was once again going with the slope a little bit of a way shape, but it actually just wobbled, the seam just wobbled a little bit and probably just nipped back a tiny little bit, caught Ramden on the crease. I think before that I maybe was bowling him a couple of short balls, so whether or not he was hanging back a little bit, but he basically just hit him on the pad. As I was actually appealing, I remember turning round to the umpire and falling down, basically in a position where I was like a beetle on my back, and obviously umpire gave it out, and of course I was just I was lying on my back with my feet in the air, my hands in the air, and obviously celebrating, people coming to pick us up, and I'll never forget that as well, actually, because the next day obviously I ended up taking five wickets, but it was in the press, in the papers, and with me on the back page, and I remember having breakfast, and all the lads were like, don't read what's in the press, even if it's good or bad, don't read it in the press. And I understand now obviously why they say that, because you go through tough times, but at that moment in time I couldn't have got enough papers, to be honest, because I was just wanting to read and read and read, and it was fantastic. I mean, obviously my fifth wicket was I'm just trying to think who my fifth wicket was, actually.
This wicket was Lionel Barker, but
oh, that was LBW as well, actually. That was with the slope, very similar to the left-handed batter, Sullivan Ben, but this one actually just carried on with the slope and kind of nipped back a little bit, caught him on the back pad, and of course that was me fifer, and it was that was the dream, really. That was it all complete. I mean, obviously five wickets on your debut, don't think it really sunk in. The only time which it really kind of sunk in is I was walking. I remember walking off the field, and I've got the picture in me room, in my house, walking off, and everybody is facing towards the pavilion, and I'm facing the other way. And it was basically I was holding up the ball, and I kind of had me cap saying thank you very much. And I remember my mum and dad over the far side, basically in the pavilion stand, and it was basically, they can't see me, of course, it was a long way away, but of course I was holding up the ball to them, basically just to say, look, this is for them, really. This is, yeah. They had a great day, they had all-inclusive, anyone from the northeast getting an all-inclusive food and drink, of course, they were merry, having a great day, but for me it was just a case of, all the hard work that they've put in, as me just saying, oh look, I appreciate it massively, and of course I was delighted, but it was for them.
Yeah, because of course, any five for any level of cricket is really special. Mm. But there's just that extra notch again when you're talking about the Lord's Honours Board, and I know it's almost become tradition nowadays that when somebody makes it onto the board, as Ravi Bapara did earlier in the game, their name sort of taped on, waiting for it to come on. So I guess that sort of, if you didn't appreciate it already, probably rammed home what a big deal this it would be to make it onto that board.
Yeah, and they did do that. The lads did do that. They had the scruffiest bit of white tape with onions, you know, five for whatever it was, and even then I was thinking, you know, I saw my name, but I didn't really realise kind of what I've achieved. And I don't think you do when you're playing. You always want to do better. I'm always the type of person where, I suppose in a way, a glass half empty. Where I always want to do better. You know, I'll finish my career and I'll really appreciate some of the things that I've done. And, you know, that debut is something now, knowing that I might never play for England again, I can appreciate a little bit more. You know, at the time I was very much right, where's the next game? I want to go on. Obviously the next game was here at Durham. You know, it was very much, well, how can I get better? How do I improve? I need to either go in the gym or I need to do this and that. And I remember I think we won within three days or whatever it was, and we, you know, and I think it was on the back of England not winning a test match for best part of like a couple of years, and it had been a real struggle for them. And of course we had a meeting afterwards and we said, like, every single person goes out now and has a beer, because test matches don't come along very often, and when they do, you've got to celebrate them.
And now you look back on that as an experienced player, I don't know what you thought about it at the time, but nowadays you kind of appreciate the importance of going out and celebrating one another's successes.
I think without a doubt. I mean, I remember I was probably a bit of a stick in the mud, and you know, I was too focused on maybe how I'm going to get better, even when I have a really good game, and that's, I suppose, a little, you know, people say to me, like, you know, don't be so serious, you know, but I've always been, how do I get better? How do I improve? But then I think now people get five first, get hundreds, you know, they are match winning performances, and I'm not trying to say that you should have a beer for them, but you know, you should celebrate them in some kind of way. You win a game, you should without a doubt celebrate them, absolutely no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, because particularly test match victories are very hard to win, and I guess it's important to ram home the new members of the squad, as you were at the time, just what an achievement that is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as I said, prior to that test series, really, I mean, England had a little bit of a tough time. They've been kind of been tough in the press and tough cricket, and I think they needed a little bit of a blowout. I mean, they knew they had another test match on the way, and we had to travel all the way to Durham, and you know, Andy Flower at the time was like, you know, just be careful, look after yourself, but it's important that we celebrate these victories. We celebrate match winning performances. You know, we obviously, Ravi Bapara got a big 100 and kind of welcomed him into the side, really. It was fantastic for him, and of course me to get 5 wickets as well. You know, it was important that we go out and celebrate.
And I mean, you mentioned earlier the competition for places, whether yourself or Bresnan would be playing. I guess doubly, well, not so much important, but doubly pleasing for you to put in that sort of performance, knowing that the next test was going to be at Durham, which was as important a venue for you to play at as Lords, I guess.
Yeah, and I've always said, I mean, I say it now, is that, you know, people who as a young batsman coming in or a young bowler, you get wickets or runs, in a way, it kind of cements your place for, you know, the series or a part of the summer or the whole summer. You know, if you, as a batsman, you get a couple of ducks and all of a sudden, you know, things aren't going well and you've got a lot of pressure, or you bowl a lot of overs and you don't get your reward, you don't get your wickets, then of course you think, well, right, I need to change what I normally do to try and get those wickets, and that's the worst possible thing. But yeah, I mean, it was just a great place to be, a great time to be playing, and obviously as you said, you know, coming back here and playing my second test match at Durham, the county that I love, is it was cold, but it was something that I really enjoyed.
Well, thanks very much, Graham, for sharing your memories of your Test match debut in 2009. There'll be another Bunnies First 11 podcast in 2 weeks' time. And don't forget, you can learn more about Graham Onion's Benefit Year and all the events going on at grahamonionsbenefityear.co.uk.